James is the Christian's book of etiquette, a belief that behaves. I keep repeating that, so I hope it sticks after a little while. We've been looking at behaving in the difficulty of trials, and that our behavior will show in our disposition. Verse 2 says, count it all joy, that it'll show in our discernment. Verse 3 says, knowing this, and that it is shown in our development. Verse 4 talks about letting faith have her perfect, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Then last time we looked at a belief that behaves in your deficiency. What is it that we're deficient in when we have trials? Well, according to verse 5, if any of you are deficient or lack wisdom. So we looked at one area last week, and that is what to ask. Verse 5 says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But today, verses 6 through 8, we want to go from what to ask to how to ask. And verses 6 to 8 tell us how to ask. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How should I ask for this wisdom? We need to remember that God is not some kind of a dispensing machine into which you put a prayer and out comes an answer. The promise of an answer has spiritual demands for the one who's asking, and it very clearly says, let him ask in faith. No prayer is acceptable to God without faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But that verse starts out with this: without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. We generally have the attitude, we'll pray and see what happens. But really, when you think about it, the attitude of faith is, we'll pray and we'll see it happen. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. We say the proper words when we pray in the midst of our trials, but we don't mean it from the bottom of our hearts. Deep down, there cannot be any wavering. That wavering is an inner unwillingness to rely wholly upon God. I am to ask God in the same way that God gives. According to these verses, God gives wisdom without reservation. He gives liberally. And so we must ask without any contrary notions when we ask. Think about Abraham, who staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Romans 4:20, he staggered not. How often do we waver, do we stagger when we ask God? This is convicting for all of us, convicting to me, that when I ask God for something, don't waver, don't stagger. Well, what if you do waver? Well, he gives the waverer's resemblance here. He says that he that wavereth resembles or is like a wave of the sea. So the waverer's resemblance is the wave of the sea. The sea is a picture of unrest, is it not? It rises as enthusiasm with a thought and then lets go of it in discouragement, is the way Linsky, the commentator, put it. And the wave is used in connection with the wind, driven with the wind and tossed. Let's think about this. Does the wind always come from in the same direction? No, here we say, well, the wind's out of the east today, the wind's out of the north, the wind's out of the south, wind's out of the west. And if you're like that, that means you're going in up different directions, whatever the wind says. The flag blows according to the wind and the direction it goes. And sometimes we Christians go the same direction that the wind blows. That's instability. That's wavering. And so when the wind blows from one direction, the waves go with it that direction. From another direction, the waves change direction along with the wind. It's like somebody saying, hey, Pastor, I really needed that message today. That really encouraged me. And the next day, they're in the ditch of despair again. Because why? Well, the wind was blowing one direction today, but tomorrow it blows a different direction. And that's what we do. We give in to the wind. It's a sign of immaturity. In what we see in Ephesians 4:14, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Up and down. Unstable. Instability and immaturity go together. Let me say that again. Instability and immaturity go together. So there's the waverer's resemblance in the last part of verse 6. The first part of verse 7 is the waverer's expectation. For let not that man think. He will suppose that he will still get wisdom, but he gets nothing. I know people like this. You probably know people like this. One week they're excited about the things of the Lord. They're convinced that God's in control. The next week they're all discouraged. Why? The winds blew a different direction this week. The circumstances blew differently this week. And so God, who is completely stable, is forgotten about, and we are looking at the waves like Peter did when he stepped out of the boat and he began to look at the waves and the wind that was blowing. And all of a sudden, Peter's faith just went with the wind. And that's what we tend to do. There's the waverer's expectation in verse 7. But then look at the waverer's description in verse 8. A double-minded man. That's his description. The waverer, double-minded. The word in the Greek, I like this Greek word because we used to call people, you know, a dipstick, and it's dipsukos. You're a dipstick. You're double-minded. A man with literally a two-souled man. Not two S-O-L-D, but S-O-U-L-D-E-D. A two-souled man, as if he has two souls, as if he has two personalities. One day he's got this personality, as God is on the throne, praise God, God is so good. And then God is not good, apparently, on the next day when things aren't going well. One soul, with one soul he's turned Godward. To the other, with the other soul he's turned to the world. One day he believes God, the other day he does not believe God. Why should he expect to get anything from God? When that's the way he paints him. Hebert, in his book, says he's a walking civil war in which trust and distrust of God wage a continual battle against each other. He's like the mythological horseman who rides off in different directions. Double-minded. That's the waverer's description. But then there's another description in verse 8. What is it? Unstable. He is unstable. He is restless. He is unsettled. He cannot settle down. He's ready to move on when what I'm doing doesn't work. Therefore, he is always moving on in all his ways, it says. It's not just in this area. In everything, he's unstable. Can't settle on one job. Always something about the job that he doesn't like. Usually the people he has to work with. Somebody who can't settle on a spouse, cannot settle on a church, cannot settle on doing things biblically. The kind of person that you cannot depend upon, that you cannot trust. Hebert says, the man who does not trust God cannot be trusted by man. Ooh, think of that. That same word unstable is translated this way in Luke 21:9. But when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war or commotions, to this person, to the unstable person, everything's a crisis. Everything. Oh, my weakness. Everything is always, everything's a crisis. Unstable person. Can't trust that person. So, as we look at James 1, 2 through 8, these last weeks, as you face hardship, what is it that you consider to be your deficiency? In other words, how would you finish this statement? Well, all I need is, when you come into trials. And if you answer with the all I need is, with whatever you think you're lacking in the trial, like money or health, you've just given it away, what you're relying upon. If you're looking for deliverance from something tangible like money or health. But God wants us to ask, not for those things, but what is our deficiency? Wisdom. And when you ask for wisdom, he says, let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. He that wavers is like the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. A double-minded man, a double-souled man, a dipsuchos, is unstable in all his ways. When we ask in faith, believing, he promises to provide without reservation. So Lord, may we, as we face trials all the time, even today, may we remind ourselves from your word what we've been looking at here in James chapter 1, that what we lack is wisdom. What would you do with us in this trial? What would we learn, Lord, to become more like you? And may we ask for that wisdom, truly believing, nothing wavering. Lord, that you may be honored and glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Closing song, Brother Dave, please.